Singing Psalm number 23, there is power in the blood. Psalm number 23. Thank you.
bulletin. Go ahead and slip up your hand. Brother Adam will bring you one. As always, we have the service times listed there in the upper left-hand side. We've also got the salvations and baptisms, offering totals and attendance below that. Happy birthday to those celebrating. I know there's a few other people that mentioned that their names aren't in here. We'll get them in there next year, just 12 more months, and you'll see your name in the beautiful bright ink. And then we've got the Christmas CDs available in the back. Don't forget that one is the, for personal use, the thicker one, and it's the thinner one that we're going to be handing out. We've also got the announcements about the candlelight service, the homeschool field trip to the Arizona Desert Museum. Sign them if you haven't. And then those last two events, of course, are up in Tempe, but is, of course, open to us as well. If you'd like to go, please just let me know, and we'll get you RSVP'd. And that's about it for announcements. Let's go ahead and count up the soul winning going back to, let's see, Friday. If there's anything for Friday. And then I know, do we have anything on Saturday? No. And then today it sounds like there was a big, how many was it today? 10? Praise the Lord. All right, we'll go ahead and sing one more song before we get into the preaching tonight.
Oh,
as it goes around, you can follow along with me as I read from Psalm chapter number 90 tonight. In Psalm chapter number 90. Psalm chapter 90, beginning of verse 1, the Bible reads, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, though ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For a thousand years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like the grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before us, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are past in thy wrath, we spend our years as a tale that is told. The day of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength and labor sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, even the years when we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. We'll go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, again, thank you for this time to come together. I pray that you would help me tonight to preach your word, this very simple message, Lord, nothing new, but Lord, I pray you'd help us to understand the importance of it. We ask these things in Christ's name, amen. So tonight I'm going to preach a sermon in the series I started earlier at our anniversary or thereafter, Seek to Excel, which if you remember, that's the theme verse of this year. We're in our fifth year here, and that's why we have it back here behind us to keep this theme going throughout the year of seeking to excel and all these different areas in our life. And throughout the year, this coming year, I just want to, you know, preach us on this series from time to time, just again to keep it in front of us, the idea that, you know, we should always be seeking to improve. We should always be trying to get better in different areas of our life, in our personal lives, our Christian lives. We never want to get to the place in our life where we think we've kind of just arrived or plateaued or have this good enough attitude. We always want to be doing better and improving. And of course, we're coming up on the new year where people are probably, hopefully, thinking about how they're going to improve in the new year, what areas they're going to work on. I'm a big fan of that. I think that's something obviously we should be doing year-round, but, you know, this particular time of year is when people, you know, their thoughts tend to go towards those things. They start to think about, you know, how they're going to improve in the coming year, like I said, hopefully, you know. And one of the things that people often start to think about this time of year is how they're going to accomplish their goals. At least you ought to. It's one thing to set goals. It's one thing to sit down and write down a goal and say, this is what I'm going to accomplish in 2023. But if you don't plan on how you're going to accomplish that, you know, you're kind of setting yourself up for failure. Because really, as great as having goals are, they're only as good as the systems that you put in place in order to achieve those goals. And that's what I want to preach about tonight when it comes to this idea of seeking to excel. We should seek to excel in our systems. You know, we should make sure we have good, efficient systems in place in our lives that are going to help us achieve the goals that we need to achieve in our lives. And, of course, the first part of that system that we put in place would be, you know, considering what it is you wish to accomplish, you know, in this coming year. And really, in this life, you know, that's kind of what we're seeing here in this psalm with Moses here. He's kind of reminding us that, you know, our life is fleeting, that our life is going to go by very quickly. And if we don't stop and think about what it is that we're trying to accomplish in this life, we're probably going to get to the end of it and have a lot more regrets than we needed to. Obviously, we're all going to get to the end of our life and think about how we could have done more, the things that we fell short on, the failures that we had. There is going to be some regret. You know, we try to work on minimizing that, okay? We need to make sure we're excelling in this area of system so that we don't, have an overabundance of regret in the end of our life. Because, again, it's short. And if you sit there and think that you've got all time in the world, you know, you really don't. And that's what this psalm is about. It's a very famous psalm. We hear it preached and read often. But if you look there again in verse 4, it says, "For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night." You know, that's how God is framing, you know, time to us. He's saying, this is, you know, you need to think about this. The fact that 1,000 years is like a day that went by to me. It's nothing in light of eternity. 1,000 years is going to go by very quickly, you know, from God's perspective. Obviously, you know, we, from our human perspective, that seems like a very long time, but, you know, honestly, it isn't. It's a drop of water on a hot stove in comparison to eternity. I mean, it's a drop in the bucket. It's nothing. That's what he's saying here. It's as a watch in the night. Verse 5, "Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up." Now, he's saying, who's he talking about? "Thou carriest them away with the flood." Well, he's referring back to verse 3. He says, "Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men." Verse 5, "Thou carriest them," the children of men, "away as with the flood. They are as asleep. In the morning, they are like grass which groweth up." That's what he's saying man is like, that we grow up, we're like grass. And that's a very commonly used analogy in the scripture, that man is like grass. In the morning it flourisheth, verse 6, and it groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. You say, that's kind of a dark, you know, sermon. It's kind of a downer of a thought to sit there and think about the fact that our life is so fleeting. But yet this is what the scripture reiterates to us, you know, in many places. If you would, keep something in Psalms 90, go over to James chapter number 1. You know, this is the New Year's sermon, so to speak. You know, I'm really going to try and rein it in this year and not preach a bunch on this topic, because I think people kind of get fed up with it. But, you know, you got to get at least one, you know, hey, the New Year's coming, what are you going to do in 2023 kind of a sermon. And this is it tonight. I'm going to try and limit to just that. If you look there in James chapter 1, look at verse 9. It says, "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he's exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away." So there it is again, where he's referring back using the same language that we just read in Psalm 90, where he's saying, hey, man is like the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. You know, he's kind of applying that specifically to wealthy people, because wealthy people, you know, they can maybe have this attitude of they've got all the time in the world to just spend their wealth, take their ease, and just, you know, live life very leisurely. You know, we shouldn't live our life like that. We should be people who have goals that are driven, that we should be thinking about what it is that we want to accomplish, because just like everybody else, we're going to fade away in our ways. We're going to pass away. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. In 1 Peter chapter number 1, we'll be looking at verse 22. It says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls, and obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born not again of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." So, you know, the word of God is going to live and abide forever. Those of us that have been born again by that incorruptible seed, we will also live and abide forever in heaven. But, you know, we still only have this life in order to accomplish what it is that we're going to accomplish. You know, the day, the night cometh wherein no man can work. Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his works." We only have this life in order to accomplish whatever it is we're going to accomplish for Christ, okay? He goes on in verse 24 and uses that same analogy, "For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." You know, "But the word of the Lord shall endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you." So you can just see again and again in Scripture where this is, we're just being reminded of this idea. We're being reminded, really, not just of an idea, but of a fact, that we are all going to be gone before we know it. That life is going to come and go quickly. We need to be thinking about, we need to be, planning what it is that we're going to accomplish. You need to excel in putting systems in place in your life that are going to help you achieve goals. And look, if you're somebody who just never sets goals, it just never really sets out to achieve anything, it's just kind of the same thing year after year after year, you know, you're just robbing yourself. You're selling yourself short. You know, people can accomplish so much more if they just wanted to. People could do so many more great things. They could accomplish in so many different areas in their life. You know, they can improve in their business or their service for God. They can improve in every area of life if they wanted to. But what happens is people just kind of fall into get into a pattern, and they just kind of go through life like that, just kind of on autopilot, never really seeking to excel, never trying to get to that next level. And I'm trying to motivate us tonight and to provoke us to do that. You know, that's what this series is about. You know, seek to do better. Seek it. It's something that has to be sought. You know, I preached about it in another sermon, talking about how you had to have fervency, that if you want to do this, it's something that you have to have zeal about. But if that's not enough, it's not enough to just have zeal and fervency and to excel. You also have to put systems in place. You have to plan. You have to decide what it is that you want to accomplish and then set about how you're going to do it. There's, of course, the famous saying, you know, I'm going to quote, have several generic, you know, cliche quotes in the sermon tonight, you know, forgive me, but these are the things I think about, and I think there's a lot of truth to them, that failing to plan is planning to fail. You know, that's something that I've heard, and I believe it's true, that if you're a person who just fails to plan in life, well, really all you're doing is just planning to fail. You're just setting yourself for failure. If anything, you're robbing yourself. You're going to come short of the things that you could accomplish. I mean, think about getting to heaven and, you know, standing before God and Him then showing to you everything you could have done if you had set your heart to it, if you'd actually put some effort into it, if you'd actually sat down and thought about it and planned it out and, you know, and put a system in place whereby you could achieve it. You know, think about all the things that God might just show you, said that you just left undone in this life simply because you just couldn't be bothered to put any effort towards it. You know, we could accomplish so many more things in our lives if we would just plan to do so, okay? I mean, think about all the things you already do automatically. You know, you think, well, how important is planning? Well, you planned to be here tonight, otherwise you wouldn't have been here, right? You planned, hey, this is what time church starts, and you planned, you know, how long it takes to get there, and you got here. You know, you were planning. You know, that didn't happen by accident. Obviously, it gets to be automatic after a while. You know, you probably sit down and plan your budget. You know, you figure out how much money's coming in, how much money has to go out. If you fail to plan, you know, there's going to be some bills showing up with a lot of red ink on it. You know, past due, right? We do those things all the time. We'll plan those things. You know, we'll plan out all the appointments that we have when it comes to things like our health. You know, I got a dentist appointment this month. I got, you know, the kids got to get a checkup this month. We'll have all these other systems in place to help us achieve all these, you know, worldly, carnal things that are necessary. But when it comes to the things of God, it's just, well, whatever. You know, and what's going to happen is, you know, people that fail to plan what they're going to achieve spiritually are going to get to the end of their life, which is going to be brief, and it's going to go by quicker than you realize, and they're going to get to the end of it, and they're going to realize everything that they didn't do that they could have done. I mean, that would be a huge regret, wouldn't it? To get to heaven and have Christ just go, well, you know, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you did what little bit you did, but there was just so much more you could have done if you had just wanted to do it. You know, that's something that should motivate us. And, you know, obviously making that point, reading Psalm 90 and trying to, you know, stir us up to have that zeal, that fervency, that's important. But then we have to put a system in place, you know, that's going to help us. Because, you know what, being excited about doing things for Christ, this is how that goes. You know, we're excited, we're not so excited. We're excited, we're not so excited. You know, we like reading our Bible. We don't like reading our Bible. We like memorizing scripture. We like going to church. You know, that's just this ebb and flow of emotion. And we can't just go through life, especially the Christian life, just being led of emotion. You know, we need to have discipline, and we need to, you know, and just do things out of duty and let emotion follow. Systems are what help us do that. You know, having a very practical system in place is what's going to help us just day in and day out achieve what it is that we're going to achieve. Because that's how you achieve things, don't you? It's day by day. You know, people that have done great things, that have built, you know, great businesses or done great things for Christ, you know, they didn't do that overnight. You know, Moses is a great example. You know, think all the great things he did, but, you know, it took a long time. There was a lot of training. There was a lot of, you know, growing involved there. There was, you know, a lot of things that had to go into that leading up to it. You know, systems, if we excel in this area of systems and put these in place, these are the things that are going to help us day by day, and day by day build up and accomplish great things over time. It's a compounding effect. We need to be led. So first of all, consider what it is that you want to accomplish, you know, in this life. You know, maybe we have some big, grandiose dream about what we want to accomplish in this life. Great. You know, maybe there's just maybe some very practical, down-to-earth things that we want to accomplish in this life. Great. You know, we ought to have those things. But you know what? You're not going to accomplish everything in life overnight. You know, you're going to accomplish it year by year by year by year. And, you know, so ask yourself, what are you going to accomplish this year? What is it that you're going to do this year that's going to help you accomplish what you're trying to accomplish in your whole life, okay? And then really, this is where systems comes into place. You know, whatever you want to accomplish this year is going to be accomplished day by day, day by day, one day after another. You know, that's and that really is where, you know, the real work, where the real discipline, where the real systems need to be to help us develop habits, get rid of bad habits in order to accomplish things, not just day to day, not just in a year, but over a lifetime. They're lived day by day. If you would, go over to Matthew chapter number 6. Very familiar passage, I know, but go to Matthew chapter number 6. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, if we want to accomplish what it is that God wants us to accomplish in this life, we have to do that by not trusting in our own, leaning onto our own understanding, but acknowledging him in all our ways, in all our ways. Which means that's something you have to do every single day. That's something you have to get up every day and say, I'm going to acknowledge God today. What is it that God would have me to do today? And if you just, and you know what? It's probably not going to be that hard to figure out day to day. You know, God's will isn't really that hard to figure out from day to day, is it? The problem is that people, they just want to look, you know, 10 years down the road. Well, what's God going to do in my life 10 years from now? God's not going to show you that. I mean, you might have a general idea of what where your life's going to lead. There's just some life events that kind of just happen to all of us. But, you know, none of us can know the exact specifics of what's going to unfold in our lives. But you know what? We kind of have a pretty good idea what God expects from us day to day. You know, and those, that, but and you say, well, that, you know, Bible reading and prayer and going to church and serving God, you know, that's just kind of mundane. Yeah, but those are the essential building blocks. Those are the systems that we need to put in place that are going to help us accomplish great things over time. We need to acknowledge him day by day, and then he shall direct our paths. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, I'll read to you, wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I mean, think about, you know, running a race. I mean, Paul often likened the Christian life unto a race, a physical race. You know, obviously you start out having a general idea where the finish line is. You know, if you got to go in that direction, there's these turns and things like that. But, you know, if you're running some kind of an obstacle course, or maybe you're trail running, or maybe, you know, you have to kind of be a little bit more mindful of your footing. You know, you don't just stare, you know, try to look as far out on the horizon as you can. You're kind of looking ahead of you, what's immediately in front of you, so you don't twist your ankle. So you don't, you know, put yourself out of the race. That's kind of how the Christian life needs to be led. You know, we got to live it that way. We can't just, you know, keep our eyes so far off on the prize that we don't see what's right in front of us. You know, and it was we look to Jesus day by day, looking in the Word of God, looking to God, seeking God in prayer. That's how he will lead us, help us to know where to put the next step, and then the next step, and then the next step. The Bible says in Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, God illuminates the next step in our lives. He doesn't shine we want some bright spotlight that's going to show us every detail along the whole way. But God's light word is just like a light that's just shining right here, showing you, no, put your foot there, now there, now there. And then that's how we make progress over time. You know what that is? It's a system. It's having a system in place. It's, you know, it's something that's done habitually, okay? Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. He said, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I know we looked at this morning, but you know it needs to be considered in light of this sermon as well. Is that, and obviously the context is here, is we shouldn't fret and worry about the whether or not we're going to have the things that we need in this life. You know, we are. You know, God has promised that. I mean, this is a promise in the Word of God that he's not going to, you know, forsake the righteous. He's not going to allow his seed to beg bread. You know, if we're faithful to God, he's going to take care of us and provide us for these things. But, you know, it's the world, the Gentiles, these are the things that they seek after. And they seek after, you know, how their life's going to go. They worry about all these things. They worry about, you know, things that are far off. They worry about things that, you know, they have no control over, really. And he's saying, don't you be like that. He's saying all these things, you know, shall take care for themselves. You know, what we need to be focused on is day by day seeking after the Lord, seeking after God, and not getting so wrapped up in, you know, what's going to happen, you know, 20 years from now. I mean, it's great to have goals. It's great to know what's, you know, to want to achieve something, but the only way you're going to achieve it is by having a system in place. And look, I know this is a dry subject tonight. I know this isn't the most exciting sermon, but putting this in practice in your life is actually going to help you. You know, this is something that will actually help you achieve something if that's what you want to do. You know, if you actually want to achieve something for God, you got to put a system in place. You know, so maybe this isn't the most entertaining sermon, but, you know, it's a very practical one. You know, it's one that's going to help you if you'll actually follow the biblical advice that's being given about having a system in place to achieve your goals. Think about what you're going to do in your life. And not just be like a person that just lives for every carnal moment that just comes and goes. Just living for the flesh, just living for distraction, just living for all these things that the Gentiles seek after. Actually think about, what am I going to achieve for Christ in this life? You know, hopefully that's the type of people that we are. We are thinking about what it is we're going to do for God in this life. But it takes more than that. We also have to have a system in place. You know, we're coming up on the new year, and hopefully people are making resolutions. They're making resolutions that are spiritual in nature. You know, obviously there's other resolutions that are great to make. But hopefully somewhere on your list you have of your resolutions, you know, you've written some things down. Hey, there's a good system to start right there. You know, if you've made some resolutions, have you written them down? Actually take the time to sit down and write down and think about what it is I'm going to accomplish in the next year. You know, and if you're the type of person that just doesn't think that's important and doesn't like that kind of thing and just kind of just, you know, sloughs that off, you're probably not somebody that's achieving a whole lot. I mean, maybe you're just kind of maintaining, maybe you're just kind of getting the status quo, and that's fine, but as I was stating earlier, you're selling yourself short. You know, the series is Seek to Excel. That's the theme that we're trying to keep in front of this church, to do better, to improve in every area that we can. You know, and I think that setting New Year's resolutions is a good thing. It's something we should all be doing. And look, I'm not saying you have to sit down, you know, and fill out a list as long as your arm. I mean, if you want to, great. But there should be something. I mean, I'm sure every single one of us could think of at least one thing, one area in our life that we could improve in the coming year. And honestly, we could probably all think about several areas in which we can improve. You know, I'm just going to mention the generic ones that get mentioned every year, and we're going to go over it again. Go back to Psalms chapter 90, verse 9. You know, New Year's resolutions are great, but they have to be carefully planned for. You say, why are you preaching this on December? December, what, 4th? You know, New Year's isn't until, you know, the new year, January 1st. Hopefully you knew that, right? You're getting ahead of yourself there, preacher. Well, no, I'm not, because, you know, I don't want to be the guy that's going to preach. You know, New Year's falls on a Sunday this year. The first day of the new year falls on a Sunday. So if I get up on New Year's Day and preach to you about, you know, making resolutions, you're already a day behind, okay? I'm preaching it early, one, because it's just been on my mind. It's just something I've been thinking about personally. And two, because New Year's resolutions are things that have to be planned for. There have to be systems in place if you're going to achieve things in your life. If you're actually going to accomplish something, you have to have thought it through and put a system in place to achieve it. It's not enough to just have some fleeting notion of what you might want to do. I mean, just think about all the things that people kind of plan for. Even the world, like, what's the number one thing that people plan for in the new year? There you go. You're with me. Lose some weight, right? But you know what? Most people who actually achieve that, they didn't just say, I'm going to lose weight this year. They actually sat there and thought about, okay, how am I going to change my diet? They might have even downloaded some kind of an app or something where they're going to track how many calories in and how many calories out. You know, I'm not going to turn this into some, you know, diet and nutrition sermon. You know, I'm not really qualified to speak on that. But, you know, there's plenty of literature that's out there, isn't there? There's plenty of resources out there that people can go to and learn a whole lot about diet and learn a whole lot about nutrition. You know, and who's the people that go there and find out those things? The people actually want to achieve that resolution. They're the ones that actually sit down there and think and not just have this nice idea about what they're going to do. Oh, it's going to be, I'd like to lose some weight. Then they go, I'm going to actually go and figure out how to do this, and then I'm going to put a system in place that's going to help me achieve it. And look, that's just a generic, you know, resolution that a lot of people make, but that the idea of putting a system in place is what's important. Whatever the resolution it is that you're going to make, you have to figure out how you're going to achieve it. New Year's resolutions must be carefully planned for in advance. That's why I'm preaching this so early. You know, and sitting back and you know, figuring out your life and planning things out is biblical, I believe. Psalms 90, verse 9, it says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70." That's 70. I mean, that's 70. You want to really put things in perspective? I'm thinking about this off the cuff, but you should just take, you know, if the average, okay, let's just take this, all right? He says, the days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet their strength is labor and sorrow. So 80 is 80, right? I mean, living to 80 is, you know, probably something not everyone gets to do. He's saying it's by reason of strength. You know, if we take care of ourselves and, you know, and by reason of strength and God blesses, you know, we'd be very fortunate. We'd be a blessing to reach 80 years old. You know, and some of you, that seems like it's a millennia off. It's a right around the corner for all of us. 80 is going to be on you, hopefully, before you realize it. And to put that in perspective, you know, this is something I heard recently and did. You know, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm just going to ballpark it for you, okay? So let's say you're, 40, okay? So you have 40 more years to go before you're 80. You know, take 40 and multiply that by 365. At first, when you think about that, you think that's probably a really big number. It's not. It's like, it's probably like in the, 30,000s, somewhere in there. I don't have the exact number in front of me. I don't get a calculator out. It's all right. We don't need to. The point stands on its own. It's a general number. You do that, you know, do that on your own time. Go home and, you know, figure out how old you are now and how many years you have until 80, and then multiply that by 365. You know, you would think that's probably going to be a lot. It's like if I gave you a dollar for, you know, every day that you have until you're 80, you might be able to put down payment on a house. It's like maybe $40,000, maybe $50,000. It's not a lot, folks. You know, some of us are going, 40, 50 grand. Wow, it's a ton of money. It's like, no, it's not. That's going to go really quick, you know, especially if you have wife, kids, and all that stuff. And, you know, that's what he say, why are you preaching that? Well, that's kind of what Moses is doing here. He's saying, look, the days of our years are 70, if by reason of strength, there'd be 80. And then he goes in verse 12, so teach us to number our days. You know, sitting down and considering the fact that you only have so much time in this life is a very wise thing to do, because it'll actually motivate you to think about how you're going to spend that time. What's going to be a priority to you? How are you going to use it? He says, teach us to number our days that we can go away sad and depressed and upset and feeling like life's over. No, so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, so that we can learn to use our time wisely. You know, so that we might be motivated to what? Put a system into place in order to figure out or accomplish, rather, what it is that we want to accomplish. You know, I'm going to close here with this last little bit here, this quote. You know, I heard a quote I read in a book about habits. You know, and there's a lot of literature. I'm distilling a very small amount of things that I've read here. But this one quote that has stuck with me out of this book is this. He said this: we do not rise to the level of our goals. We do not rise to the level of our goals. You know, and that's important to keep in mind when we're thinking about our New Year's resolutions, if we're making any, and hopefully we all are. You know, we're thinking about some goal that we have. You know, making a goal is not going to, in and of itself, is not going to help you achieve that goal. He says, we do not rise to the level of our goals. We fall to the level of our systems. You see, I have this goal, okay, but if you don't have a system in place, all it's ever going to be is a goal. It'll never be an achievement. You know, what's going to get you to making that goal an achievement is the system that gets you there. Whatever system you have in place, that's all the better that you're going to do. You're not going to do any better than the system that you have in place. Well, I don't have a system. That's not good then. Then you're probably not going to accomplish anywhere near as much as you could if you don't have any system in place. You know, that's why we need to seek to excel in our systems. You know, Moses here is talking about numbering our days, you know, counting it out. We spend our days as a tale that is told. That's talking about counting, right? You know, I think that's why let me just give you some practical things here at the end, to things that you can implement in the new year. You know, this idea of numbering, I think it's a very good idea for people to track things in their lives. You know, whether it's on a pen and paper, you know, I'm not going to give you all the specifics on how to, I'm not going to bore you to death with all that. You know, there's plenty of productivity books that have been written. There's YouTube videos. There's a plethora of information out there. You figure out how to track things. You know, you can download apps and stuff like that. But I believe that tracking your habits, both good and bad, is a very good system for you to put in place so that you will, you know, do better in the coming year. You know, it's a great thing if you have some bad habit you're trying to break. You know, if you every time you break it or don't break it, you know, you're tracking it that day. At the end of the day, you say, did I do or not do X, Y, and Z? And then you're checking it off or you're marking it. And then you can look back and see how well you're doing. You know, and if we're not tracking these things, you know, we're not going to probably improve in these areas. You know, we need to have systems in place. We could do that through tracking. We could do that through scheduling. As I said earlier, you know, failing to plan is planning to fail. You know, we always talk about as preachers, and it's just a drum that has to be constantly beat, is Bible reading. You know, we talk about, how much Bible are you going to read in the new year? Well, I'm going to read my Bible X amount of times this year. Okay, what time are you going to do that tomorrow? Oh, I don't know. Well, you know what? Then don't be surprised if next year rolls around and you haven't done any more Bible reading than you have already, or very little. You haven't improved at all. Because if you actually want to achieve that goal, you have to put a system in place. You actually have to have something there. You have to have a time that is scheduled where you're just going to do it. So I don't know if I can do that. Think about all the other things that you just schedule and just do without even thinking about it. Just do it. You know, we need to be like that ant, right, in Proverbs. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways. You know, who gathers her meat in the summer, having no guide, overseer, or ruler. You know, they just do it. You know, they just instinctually, the ant doesn't wake up in the morning and go, am I going to do the things an ant should do today or not? They just do it. You know, we need to go to that ant and be like that. Just be emotionless about the things that we're supposed to do. I don't feel like it. Do it anyway. Right? And that's what an ant does. It just does it instinctively. You know, the things that we ought to do should just be done instinctually. It should just be done habitually. It's a certain time of day. This is the time of day I read my Bible. That time runs around. Nothing keeps me from it. It just happens. And look, if missing Bible reading happens, you know, it should be the exception, not the rule. You know, I understand life happens, things come up, we get busy, you know, and it should be like we can look back on our tracking of our Bible reading or whatever and say, oh man, I only missed a handful of days. Rather than the other way around, like, oh, I only read a handful of days. You know, if we put a schedule in place where it's, you know, whatever the goal is, I'm going on Bible reading because I'm a preacher. That's what I'm always trying to get people to do more of. You know, have your Bible reading scheduled. My recommendation is to always do it first thing in the morning. I know that's not practical for everybody. Some people have busier schedules. You figure it out. You do you, okay? But put systems in place. Seek to excel in this area in the coming year, and you will accomplish more spiritually than you have in any other year prior. Bible reading. You know, and one thing I will say is, you know, I speaking of tracking, you know, there are these nice little check sheets right here that I've printed off, a dozen of them. You know, and they're right there underneath the first aid station, or kit, or whatever you want to call it. They're all there. You know, grab one on your way out. You got a fresh new chart. I almost considered making them double-sided for the truly ambitious, you know, who wanted to get through it twice this year. But I thought, you know, let's not overwhelm people. Here's just one, because I know all those boxes on there, all those numbers, all those names, everything. How are you going to accomplish that? Well, you're going to do it one day at a time. You know, this is a goal for 1 year. And it's just check it off, you know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes a day. You would check off every box on this piece of paper. 15 to 20 minutes a day. Well, I don't know if I have time. Well, then you know what? If you don't think you have time, then you need to take me up on the idea of tracking your habits. Just track what, don't set out to do anything. Just track what you do already. Just write down what you do throughout, just at the end of the day, everything you spent, 5 minutes here. Just like do that for like a week. And you'd be blown away about how much time you just waste. Scrolling on a screen, you know, clicking on something, clicking a remote. How many times, you know, how many commercials did you watch? Add that up. You know, a 30-second commercial. How many commercials are, you know, on a typical television program? I don't know. Like half the program, half hour of programming is about what? They probably put about 15 minutes of commercials in there, you know? So, I mean, there's 15 minutes. How about this? When the commercials come on, just hit mute and read your Bible. You'd read the whole Bible in a year. One day at a time. 15, 20 minutes. You know, I don't recommend that. You probably won't get much out of your Bible reading, but the point stands that if we actually just tracked how we are already spending our time, we'd go, man, I have plenty of time to read my Bible in the coming year. I have more time than I first thought. If we put a system in place, if we took the preacher up on what he's actually saying, and we checked off, we would end up checking off everything on here. What about soul winning? You know, I know I'm preaching to the choir here tonight, you know, but I'm preaching to the choir tonight because, you know, the Sunday night crowd is typically the people that, you know, are motivated enough to do these things. Soul winning is something that should be scheduled and maintained. And just done, you know, in the coming year. What about those that maybe you're going soul winning on a regular basis, but you're not yet a talker? You know, maybe you should schedule, put somewhere on the calendar year of 2023, by this date, I will be a talker. And I'm gonna work towards that goal of, you know, by 4th of July, Memorial Day. I don't know, you figure it out. All I'm saying tonight is if you don't put systems in place, you're selling yourself short. If you do not seek to excel in this area, you're not going to excel. And you're going to get to the end of this short life, and you're going to regret having left so much undone. And great things are accomplished one day at a time, little by little, one step at a time. We accomplish great things. We just have to put systems in place that are going to keep us on that path. We need to seek to excel in this area. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, again, thank you for, Lord, the coming year. Thank you for a great year this last year. Lord, I pray you'd help us all to excel, Lord, in all these different areas in our life, spiritually and everywhere else. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be always seeking to improve. Lord, help us to put systems in place, Lord, to track how we're spending our time and what we're doing so that we can accomplish more for you than we have before. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we'll sing one more song before we go.
32.